Every entrepreneur, especially in investing, needs to have a coach that's helping them, one, stay on the right, get on the right path for achieving their goals and dreams, and two, staying on that path and being holding them accountable.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
As the official Zig Ziglar small business lawyer and Ziglar Legacy certified trainer, it's no wonder that Scott Reeb is known as America's legal coach. The last two decades, Scott has been helping business owners, entrepreneurs, and coaches shatterproof their businesses by implementing specific strategies for structure, growth, and protection. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine. I love when we get to really just talk about some of the nuance of being a real estate investor. You know, and part of that, obviously, a big part of what we do is working with attorneys that are in our corner. And for you, you've got a great history in real estate. I guess, can you kind of give us a little bit, and in law, but it could give us a little bit of a background as to why you focus on real estate and kind of how that came about?
Yeah, I mean, I've been practicing 25 years. It's pretty crazy that a quarter century into this stuff. The first 15 years, but all I did was litigation. And it kind of, as it evolved, I started doing a lot of real estate litigation. And so that led me into working with real estate investors on the transactional side. And then I started focusing on kind of trying to help them grow and protect their businesses. And so that's one of the main niches that we focus on with our Access membership program is real estate investors. And we also work with some property management companies too.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's an interesting kind of iteration of how you developed what you guys do today. What were some of the things on the litigation side? I know you've written a book or an ebook, you know, called Five Prudent Strategies. And what were some of the things on the litigation side that kind of led you to those strategies?
Yeah, I mean, in the litigation, you learn really quickly what people are doing wrong. And a lot of litigation could be avoided if people were using lawyers to make their deals. But I understand that deals happen quickly and sometimes things move forward without the lawyer looking at it. I can recall 20 years ago, there was a huge case that we had to litigate about a right of first refusal. And I mean, it went on for 4 years. And if they had had a lawyer on both sides review that contract, that wouldn't have happened. But they didn't. Someone saved probably $1,000, didn't have this $1 million deal looked at. And they ended up spending probably $100,000 each on attorney's fees over 4 years. So I learned really quickly that there's value in having that next set of eyes. Even if you're a pro investor, having that one more set of eyes on the deal to make sure that the language isn't ambiguous or that there's something that should have been in there and it's not being in there, so that you might have a statute of frauds problem if something isn't documented correctly. Mm. And so those kind of things make it where real estate investors have to have what I call on-demand access to a legal team, because right, deals come up, especially in this market we're in now. If a deal comes up, I mean, you've got to be able to move, and you need a legal team that can move quickly with you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the traps that we commonly fall into is thinking, well, it won't happen to me. You know, that's either it won't happen to me, or we run into that's too expensive. And as you said, $1,000 on a deal could have saved $100,000 on both sides. So yeah, we'll jump right back into the question, which was what we see a lot of times is that we, as investors in general, say, well, it won't happen to me, right? I've been through this. I've seen the documents. I've paid the 10 or 20 grand for that set of documents before. I can just reuse them, and or, you know, we just assume that we'll skate by. And sometimes you can, and sometimes you don't. But to your point, you know, $1,000 would have saved $200,000 in 4 years of probably very frustrating, you know, frustrating litigation. So that's, bringing people on your corner has got to be huge. Let's talk about the five prudent strategies. You've written this ebook, and I know you've put a lot of thought into that. Can you kind of walk us through those?
Yeah. The idea is to try to give some simple strategies that are proven to help entrepreneurs and small business owners build a business that is shatterproof. So it's like the glass in our windshields that when a rock hits it, it marks it. We can fix it later. It doesn't come through and hit you in the face.
Right.
And so the first of the proven strategies is that you have to assemble a team of advisors, these key advisors. Obviously, one of those is you need to have a lawyer that you have on-demand service with. The other would be you want to have a CPA that's helping advise you on the tax structure of your deals and making sure that you're utilizing all of your the tax advantages of real estate investing. The next would be an insurance broker. You've got to have someone that's keeping you insured and letting you know all the different coverages that are available and letting you make the choice on whether you take them or not, or whether you're ready for them from a cash flow standpoint. Sometimes you can't afford it. I get it. The next thing you've got to have in this industry is that you have to have a financial person, a banker, a lender that can help you secure these deals. So you want in that slot for investors, you might have several different people, right? But you need to have some key people there that you go to if you need money fast to make a deal happen. And so those, and then the last one is you need to have a coach. Every entrepreneur, especially in investing, needs to have a coach that's helping them, one, stay on the right, get on the right path for achieving their goals and dreams, and two, staying on that path and being holding them accountable.
Right. Yeah. And you absolutely hit that on the head, especially for me. The one that sticks out is your key team of advisors. A lot of times what we see though is that these advisors aren't talking. They don't know each other. They don't talk to each other.
Yep.
How do you overcome that in the sense that you might have your attorney draft all your legal docs and they create entities that do certain things that at year end, your CPA goes, oh man, if we'd have done this differently, we could have saved a whole ton of money. What were they thinking? How do you overcome some of those challenges?
Well, we require all of our Access members to have this team of advisors and to introduce us to them week one. And then as we start building their shatterproof structure, then we create a diagram of what that looks like. We get that over to their team of advisors. So everyone's got some input on, you know, what's a potential problem? Because I can protect you a lot of different ways. We want to make sure it's not causing a problem from a tax standpoint. It's not causing a problem from a lender standpoint. And if it is, that you as the investor are making the decision on how we're going to move forward. And so with technology now, it's so easy. I mean, you can jump on a Zoom call with all the advisors and then with email and with able to share things in the cloud. It's very easy now if you have a team that's willing to collaborate to do so. And so when you're assembling that team, it's imperative that you talk to them about, I'm not looking for individual professionals to advise me. I'm looking for people that are willing to be part of my team.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's absolutely key. And that's probably a new thought, I would imagine, especially for smaller shops, smaller CPAs, the operators that are one man shows. The idea of getting on a Zoom call with five other professionals to talk about this one client might sound irritating.
It can be, but it's also a huge opportunity for them. If they're really good at what they do, they're getting introduced to all these other professionals that can send them more business.
Right. Well, 100%. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't argue the value, you know, there, but it's one of those things that, you know, as you consider moving forward, you just got to find, I guess, those people that are willing to be team players as you build this out, because otherwise it becomes, you know, challenging. I'm thinking about I interviewed the real estate guys the other day, the real estate CPA firm. And, right. I'm sure that they're well-versed in what it is that you guys do. So that's really cool. You know, let's talk a little bit more about why you built a subscription-based model around your legal services. What does that look like and why did you build it that way?
Yeah, well, I built it that way because of the problem I was seeing in the market, that especially on the smaller side, people starting out in investing, starting out as entrepreneurs, they're kind of locked out of legal advice. There just really isn't a good way for them to get someone that's actually listening to them, understanding what they're doing, and then advising them on an ongoing basis, right? It might be you could go pay for one consult, but then they're out.
Right.
Now you need someone that's having, you know, regular conversations with you as that you have, you know, like cell phone access to ask questions as you're trying to put these deals together. And so we put the program together in 2012 because I had these clients that were making mistakes over and over again, but not calling me first.
Right.
You know, what happened was they were avoiding me because they felt like every time they called me, money was flying out of their pockets.
Right.
So I finally got it and said, okay. So I hired my first business coach and said, here's my vision. I want entrepreneurs to have on-demand access to me and my team. I want to do all their documents. I don't want them to ever sign a contract again that hasn't been reviewed. And I want them to pay me a small monthly fee.
Mm.
And the first coach was like, you're crazy. Second one was like, well, I think I understand what you want to do, but that didn't work. The third coach was like, I've got it. I have a path for you. I can help you put this together. So we put together what's called the Access Plan. And now our Access members, I mean, they have my cell phone number. They have all our team's numbers. They could call us, email us, text us. They have online portals where they can upload documents, ask questions, and then they have an Access concierge that's taking care of them on a daily basis to make sure that, you know, their businesses stay in between the lines and that they have their questions answered, that they're not out there flipping coins or dialing a friend. Right. And then we do a monthly coaching call with every Access member that schedules theirs so that we can keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on in their business and in their life. We can ask questions. The more our clients talk to us, the more we know what they're doing. Because it's amazing. I'll have a client maybe that I've known for a few years, and then during a conversation, they'll tell me something they're doing that I wasn't aware they were doing. And I'm like, whoa, what did you say you were doing? Stop that. You have to do this right, differently.
Right.
And if you're not having that relationship, it just doesn't come up. Because usually you go, you know, if you do a one-off meeting with a lawyer, you're nervous, you don't know them very well, you're very likely to leave out important information. If you have a relationship with them that's not costing you more money to spend more time, you're open, you're honest, and you're very transparent. And that's when a professional can really help.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because otherwise it is, like you said, it's transaction based, and it is, hey, this is the one need I have, solve this one need. And then you move on and forget, and that you probably should be having regular conversations. Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. When you bring talent on, because you guys are multi-state, right?
Yeah, we do all our work from the mothership in Texas. I'm personally licensed in Oklahoma and Texas, but we do general counsel work right here in Texas for entrepreneurs all over the country.
Right. Okay. So you guys work all over the country. How have you guys vetted the people that you've brought on inside of your own in-house to make sure that they are able to live up to and provide the quality of service that you guys want to provide?
Yeah. So we have a pretty thorough interview process, and which is great now with I've been using Zoom for about 5 years to do that stuff. And then we have sample projects that we require them to do before they even get interviewed. So we're giving them a legal problem to solve, and then we get to see the quality of the work. How thorough was it? How clear is it? And then that gives me a real good idea, because they're doing their very best work, right? Trying to impress me to come on board as a ReBlaw preferred provider. And then we get on the phone and start asking them questions about their experience. And then we bring them on and start giving them assignments. And then it's, you know, keep our eyes on what they're doing. And sometimes they don't work out. Honestly, there's times where, you know, they talked a good game and then couldn't do it. Or they weren't relational enough to deal with the clients on a daily basis. Personality is huge. Right. I'm a big proponent of hiring for character and for character qualities that you're looking for, and then helping build up skill. And so we do that. We offer them quite a bit of training, online resources, so that they can do their job well. We're just looking for good people that want to help entrepreneurs.
Right, right. No, that's absolutely. I mean, and that's the pains of every business owner, I think, is that you go through, you vet, sometimes you bring on board and it doesn't work out, and sometimes it's home runs. When it comes to, and you used this term earlier, would you guys say that you are more in the general counsel side of things, or can you guys also handle things such as, you know, syndication structures and all kind of the more common things that, you know, scaling real estate entrepreneurs deal with?
Well, I'd say that we're most, let's say 70%, it's general counsel work,
right.
But we're also doing a lot of helping build syndication deals and helping, especially beginning real estate investors, put together their structures with series LLCs and that kind of thing, to make sure that they not only are protected, but they're doing it in an efficient way,
right.
So that they're not having to pay $300 every time they want to form a new LLC, and they can keep everything in silos. That's another one of the mistakes I see a lot of real estate investors making, is they'll form their entity and then they'll bring on a new property, even in commercial, and they'll have multiple properties inside one LLC. Got to split everything out. Everything has to have its own entity. The easiest way to do that for me is with a series LLC.
What is a series LLC for those of our listeners?
Yeah, who understand? Yeah, and not every state has them, but you can use those. You know, you can take advantage of them in those states. A series LLC, you set up what's called a master LLC that would have, you know, whatever members you want to have in that LLC. Underneath that, you can have as many sub levels as you want, and each sub level can have its own membership. So you could have different members in each sub level, and each one is completely isolated from the other. They can all have tax ID numbers. They can, you know, bank accounts, the whole nine yards, but you don't have to file documents every time to set up a new LLC. You put together a package for that one. It has its own little operating agreement and it runs separately, but it saves you the trouble of having to file certificate of formation, wait for it to come back, do new and pay those fees. And this way, once you come up with your naming convention, it's going to be series one, and usually we use the address of the property or some abbreviation of it, so it's real identifiable. And then you just keep naming them that way, so it's real easy to keep track of what you've got. Everything is underneath that one deal. And then you can use another LLC to be your management company if you're managing your properties yourself, so that the checks are all written to that company, not the asset holding companies.
Right, right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm sure, you know, people, you probably need to get on the phone call call with you and really set, you know, obviously this is specific advice to everyone's situation, but you know, those are some of the things that, you know, are fascinating that you guys can really help. And again, I think the coolest thing about what you guys are doing right now is just the fact that you're available and not a solve this one problem, here's your bill for the hour conversation or the 20-minute conversation. Thank you. So I think that's really cool. And I think it's especially neat that you guys focus, you know, specifically on real estate. That's something that outside of real estate, if you're just not that's a problem, but if you are just a generalist, you maybe don't understand everything that we on this side of the table, you know, face on a daily basis. So that's absolutely fascinating. Scott, let's jump here into the final four. We're out of time, which is disappointing because I got more questions, but you know, that's the way it goes. But let's jump here into the final four questions. And I've changed them up on our listeners. So for those of you who maybe are just now tuning in, we've had the same questions for about 260 or 70 episodes or so. And so here recently, we've been changing up the final four questions because the answers we were getting were consistently the same ones. So we looking for some new answers here. But here we go. First question is this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate, what would you do with it and why?
Wow, that's an interesting question. If I had $20,000 right now, I would go look for a piece of property in more rural Texas that I could replat to build several eightplexes on it. And then I would put up signs on that property with graphics of what they're going to look like, and then start contacting other investors to see if anyone wants to participate with me in this project.
Right. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And in Texas, in your booming market, you know, that would be a good plan. That would be a good plan. Question number two is this. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
It's going to be document everything you do. Be really careful about documentation. So if you're entering into agreements, don't get stuck just using standard forms. Make sure that you've got a lawyer on your side that's helping you do them custom the way you want them, not just the standard special provisions form, but make sure you've got the right legalese in there for the deal that you're doing, not just templates. That's really common. People are using, there's just so much out there. So don't do that.
Right. Yeah. Templates, I'm sure. Yeah. That can get really tricky really fast and probably put you in positions you don't want to be in. Question number three is this. When it comes to investing in the world, what's the one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
I'm investing in some corporations through stock investing right now that I look at the social plan that they have. Don't really want to disclose who I'm investing with, but but they're doing different things to give back to the community.
Right. No, that's super cool. That's super cool. Love it. Scott, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
You know, the best way to do that is go to our website, www.reiblaw, that's reiblaw.com/. I created a special page for this show. It's going to be / how to scale. And if you go there, you'll find a link you can click to book 20 minutes with me. Not with anyone else here. 20 minutes to talk about your specific situation. And you can download the book we've been talking about.
Wonderful. Scott, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.